Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. One of my favorite days of the year because it marks the beginning of football season, and it's Thursday, but yeah, it's the beginning of football season, not Sunday. And my team, I got my shirt on, I got my popcorn ready to be popped or whatever it is. I guess I need to get me some wings tonight, but anyway, my favorite team, of course, the Super Bowl champs, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, are on tonight, and wanted to share with you some, I guess, celebrating tips or kickoff tips to the season. Basically, things you'll use probably for the next several months for tailgating. And I asked Luke Lorick of the Tailgating Challenge to be on with us this morning to share with us some tips. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking the time out. I really appreciate it. And I know this is your passion, so there's nothing that's lost on you with regards to this art. But I wanted to ask you, because the last year or so has been a little bit different. Has tailgating changed, in your opinion, in terms of the way in which we do it and what we celebrate with, I guess?
Last year, Definitely, it changed everything, right? Because you couldn't go to the stadiums. And so that's when the tailgating at home, or as I won't say I coined it, but home gating became even bigger with people watching the game, bringing all the tailgating stuff to your house so you could do it. College football started off last weekend, and so people are back tailgating in a more regular style compared to pre-pandemic. So I'm excited about that. Excited NFL kicks off tonight, and let's get into some tailgating talk.
All right, let's get to it. So I guess there's some popular standards now. I would assume wings would be one of those. And when did wings become, I guess, a staple of the tailgating thing, or is it?
I mean, I would say that wings are definitely – I would personally say they're more home-gating for it. I don't see as many people cooking wings at the tailgate. Obviously,
okay.
Like burgers, hot dogs, brats.
Okay.
Some of those things are going to be more probably the iconic foods there.
Okay.
One of the new trends I've been seeing over the last couple of years is beer-infused meats. And so companies are partnering with beer companies to infuse their, say, brats with a special type of beer to add some additional flavor and bring that tailgating style to their product.
Okay, so yeah, that's a little unique to the tailgating scene. So, and then what other spins have you seen in recent years?
There's so many cool gadgets. Like, we get to test out gadgets, like, year-round. I've been doing this for almost 9 years with Tailgating Challenge. And so, I mean, we do a top 10 list for tailgating gear every single year. And so, like, a
uh-huh.
couple of the ones that like, really stood out this year, there's a new – it's a tailgating umbrella, and it's 15x9. So it's literally the world's largest receiver-hitch umbrella that you can set up in the back of your SUV or truck to really throw some shade in a good variety on your tailgate. And then there's a remote control cooler. So, I mean, it's literally – you have a remote control. It's a cooler. It has a sound system in it. It has headlights on it. And you can drive it around. So last weekend, we were tailgating at University of Wyoming, and we were driving it around to allow people to test out. A company sent us a bunch of new drinks to try out. And so it's a great way to make friends if you drive your cooler over and say, grab a drink out of there. And you can do social distancing too, because you don't even have to go over to them if you're, you know, concerned still, you know, with the pandemic and some of the stuff going on.
So I assume, based on what you're talking about, I assume that tailgating probably gets a little bit more creative with the college games than it does with the pro games, right?
I mean, I would say I've seen some awesome stuff with some of the fans' passion on both sides of it. I love the NFL. I'm still, if I had to pick, though, I'm going to a college tailgate over an NFL tailgate. That's just me personally for it. And it just it starts earlier. You got all the college kids on campus that are bringing just a different level of enthusiasm sometimes to the tailgate. Mm. And it's just fun. And we're back into it after a year off for everybody. I know that everyone's excited to do some of these fun things, see people, and go out there and get their tailgate on.
Yeah, and I got to imagine, actually, after, you know, people gave it some thought, it's like, well, you know, this really isn't that bad because it's outdoors usually, you know, and people can't have the opportunity, even though they're a crowd, they do have the opportunity to space out a little bit, you know, so
right.
it's not too bad, you know.
Yeah, no, tailgating is obviously part of the, it's outdoors, you can space your cars out, so it's not that you're packed on top of each other in a confined, closed area space, so... again, I always say, you know, be careful. I respect everyone's opinion and rights for whatever they feel like they're comfortable doing. But it seems like there is an opportunity to still have some fun while being safe tailgating this year.
Sounds cool. So now, I mean, like you said, gadgets and things have changed so much. And then you have a lot, I guess, of people getting into the labeling or monogramming or whatever. Like I was looking at your website and I see all of these coolers with the cans and there's just different styles and stuff like that. You know, so I guess people, that's a way of them, I guess, supporting their team, you know, and then being a little more creative. But it can get kind of costly, can't it?
Yeah. What I say is, like, you can have a great time at a tailgate for a small amount of money. You can have a great time at a tailgate for a lot of money because there's products and things that range the gamut of people's budgets. So, you know, my goal is to continue to show off things that maybe are on the higher price side, but also on the lower price side so people can find something that's going to make their tailgating experience just a little more fun. Love to bring fun to people's lives and smiles.
So now, other than just eating, because I can't tell you when the last time it was. I've been to so few tailgating events. So I wanted to find out basically what makes a great tailgating party or tailgating event.
Yeah, so, and this may sound cliche, but I always say it starts with the people. It starts with your friends. It starts with your family. It's a place where we can, as I call it, disconnect. We're so tied to our phones. Everyone's looking at their phones like sometimes zombies, if you will, and not paying attention to the people around them. But that seems to stop or slow down when you're tailgating because people are behind the grill. People are talking about things. People are grabbing stuff out of the cooler. People are playing some of the tailgating games, and there's a ton of them that a lot of people probably haven't even heard about yet out there. And so it's a way for us to connect on a level that we used to and probably should do a little bit more of. So it starts with the people, first and foremost, in my opinion.
Okay, and that makes so much sense. I mean, hard to do a tailgate for one. It just really, it doesn't have the same flavor, you know, and you really just need people that you're comfortable with and that you can kick back with and stuff. So that is definitely so important. So now, so how far in advance do you start before the actual game? And do people actually make it into the game to watch the game, or are they sitting out with screens?
And so I'll say it depends, right, because I'm a fan. Like, I went to University of South Carolina. That's where my passion for tailgating was born. And, like, we would get there, like, you know, if it's a night game, if it's a 7 o'clock kickoff, like, we're getting there at 11, 12 o'clock, so 7 or 8 hours of tailgating for it. And I'll be honest, like, sometimes you don't make it into the game because you're having such a good time tailgating and people have TV set up and go out there and watch it. So it really just depends. Some of the earlier games, it's maybe harder to assemble your crew, your tailgating crew, to get up, get the stuff ready to go and get down there at a decent time. So those are the ones where you may go into the game because, you know, you didn't have enough time to have as much tailgating fun with that, too. So it really depends, and I think it's based on the segment of the country, too. Growing up in the South, like, tailgating is big. Like, I'm not knocking any other conferences or schools, but SEC has some really, really good tailgating. There's obviously others, too, but SEC does it super big with their tailgates across the board. And there are some other ones that are a little bit smaller tailgates. And so maybe those TVs aren't out there. So when the TVs aren't out there, then people then start to funnel into the stadium so that they can actually watch their favorite team play that game.
Okay. All right. So now, is it a family type of event? Or I mean, I guess then the reason I ask because I assume there's a lot of beer drinking. There may be a little rowdiness maybe, but it can this be a family event?
Oh, 100%. And like I say, with anywhere, any place, there may be certain tailgates or areas that's like, that one's a little too crazy to bring the kids around. But like I grew up going to tailgates as a child and like throwing the football, you know, grilling and cooking food and going into the game, like, a lot of kids do this. Families bring kids all the time to let them see the games, have some fun. So I'd say it's definitely a family environment. But as with anything, there may be a few areas on different schools where it's like probably not bringing the kids to that particular tailgate because everyone's having maybe just a little too much fun for the kids.
So now let me ask this, because as we speak right now, where I am, it is raining, it is pouring. Are there provisions for inclement weather? Do you just cancel the tailgate or what happens?
I haven't done a snow tailgate yet. So I moved to Colorado last year. Obviously, tailgating was kind of canceled with the pandemic. So I kind of want to do a snow tailgate to actually test out some of the gear I have. I've done rain tailgates quite a few times before because I always say the tailgate show will go on. And you can have, I mean, obviously you can have rain gear. There are certain things that there's a new product that came out called the Mosey. And actually it's like a jacket for your lower half that just wraps around. So it's fully weather resistant, great for the bleacher seats and to keep you warm and dry. So there's plenty of gear out there with the tents and with even certain chairs that have like umbrellas and stuff built in to keep some of that off of you. It is going to dissuade some people, but I always say, it is what you make it. So you can go out there with a great attitude and some of the gear and have an awesome time. One of my favorite tailgates ever was literally in the rain. So it can happen, but you have to have the right attitude and some of the right gear to make sure that you have a good time doing it.
Okay. So let's talk about the gear because you mentioned you got to have the right gear. I know you said it's people, and we know that. So assuming we got the people, what's the must-have gear?
So some of the must-haves, and again, like with this, like the price range can vary from little to a lot more. So got to have a cooler. I feel like got to have a cooler to have some drinks, whether they're of the adult variety or of the kids variety. And so I'd say that if you have both at your tailgate, like maybe have one cooler designated, right, for the adults and one for the kids so there's no mix-up or tailgating faux pas. If you will, a grill, and they make a lot. They make some that are just super portable, can go in the back of a truck or even a car, and they make some that are even disposable grills. So if you didn't want to invest in a particular grill, you can get a one-time use grill so you can cook on it that particular day for a low amount of money, easy portability, and then it's done at the end of the time. So grills, coolers, and then one of my favorites is yard games. So I know we think cornhole with tailgating most of the time, but there's so many different games out there. I've been testing them now for years to kind of show them off because I think people think like, you know, flip cup, maybe beer pong and cornhole are some of the most iconic games. But like, there's a new game called tic-tac-toe, and it's cornhole meets tic-tac-toe. And so there's 9 holes on the board. You're trying to sink the cornhole bag into your hole, and then you get 3 X's in a row, and you win. So you're playing tic-tac-toe, but with cornhole. So you have to plan your move, but then you also have to actually hit the shot for your X or your O to go into the hole. And it's super easy scoring because you get 3 in a row. So there's none of this, like, I don't know what the score is. That's not what the score is. Are you sure that's what the score is? All you do is look at the board, and you get three in a row, and you win.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because my husband and I, we had not ever played tailgating, and then, it's just like, to me, it seems like it emerged more so in recent years, or cornhole, or what was beanbag toss, or whatever. You know, we used to see it at the fair or something like that. So it was odd to us, and it was just interesting. So I bought like a miniature one for because it's just the two of us usually. And I bought a miniature one and cleared off the dining room table one day. I bought it for my South Florida Bulls. And did the little cornhole game on our dining room table. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. It's definitely not the same, but, like, it was interesting. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say that, to your point, cornhole has, like, really blown up in the last couple of years to the point of, like, it's a competitive sport on ESPN now. I never thought I would see that, but it's like now you can watch cornhole like on ESPN, which is crazy. And that just continues to bring the yard game sports to the forefront with everything.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that. I do know one of the, home improvement shows I think they were doing a construction. I think it was 100 Day Dream Home. They had done a cornhole area in someone's backyard. They had a small backyard area, but the main thing was they had to have these cornhole games. So it's exploded in recent years. So and you can I looked for one time, just a regular size one. You can help find it anymore, and the prices have just really shot up too. So, but I mean, that is just a good way to have some fun and not necessarily have to be so athletically inclined to do it. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, cornhole, that's a game that kids to adults can play. I know, so National Tailgating Day that I found it was last Saturday. And so, one of the things that was really cool was there was an assisted living home in North Carolina that the day before was so excited about tailgating and National Tailgating Day. They had a National Tailgating Day party at the assisted living home and had all the residents out there. They were serving food, had a football theme, cornhole and games. And so I was like, this is the reason why we do the stuff that we do. And also, like, cornhole, like, from kids to obviously people who are a little more tenured in life can play and have a great time with it.
Yeah, for sure. So now, is tailgating limited to football?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Another big one that I'm not as big of a NASCAR fan, but like NASCAR fans tailgate like really, really big. NASCAR, it rivals probably football. A lot of people probably don't know that if you're not into the NASCAR scene, but I've been amazed at some stuff I've seen from the NASCAR side. Like basketball, baseball, a little bit, right? Doesn't compare to NASCAR or football. For it, but I've tailgated. I remember one time a buddy of mine, we tailgated literally at a basketball game. We were the only people tailgating, but we did it. But we did it. So it's not as
start
big.
A trend.
I try to every day of my life to start something new and get people to have some more fun and smile in life.
That's true. That's true. Because things, especially in the last year or so, you have gotten quite heavy. And it's not that you don't want to take the serious stuff seriously, but you have to have a little bit of levity and perspective and stuff and to kind of break things up, because you can just get caught up. And sometimes you have to kind of step out a little bit and get your brain and your body relaxed a little bit so you can actually, when you do go back to the serious stuff, you're a little bit fresher and able to address the seriousness a little bit better. So you have to have that balance for sure.
Agree. Balance is everything in life, period.
So do you do any prognosticating? Do you have a favorite team, favorite college, favorite football, sports, NFL team?
Oh, for sure. Now, I heard yours were the Buccaneers, right? And so they're playing tonight.
Yep. Definitely.
Okay, so I'm going to flip the script on you. Do you have a score prediction for the Cowboys versus Buccaneers game?
Ooh, no, but let's say, see, this is the thing. I haven't kept up with the Cowboys because my husband, who is an Eagle, is not a fan of the Cowboys. So we kind of just try to pretend they don't exist sometimes. But I don't know who the quarterback is, and that would kind of make me have a better idea. But I would venture to say, I guess I would not say high scoring, but maybe a medium scoring game. I don't know if it was going to be defensive, but let's say maybe 24-21 or something like that.
And I'm assuming you're picking the Buccaneers to win.
Yes, of course.
Well, we'll say Dak is back. So Dak Prescott should be back as the Cowboys quarterback, if that helps you at all. I think the Bucs are going to win too, and it's going to be close. But so my favorite, obviously, college team. I went to the University of South Carolina, so a huge Gamecocks fan. Had always been easy to watch all of their football games. But, you know, ride or die for your team. Get through the good and the bad.
I know. My South Florida. I'm from South Florida, and, my team got a whooping last week. Uh-oh. That's okay, but that's still my team. I was a South Florida fan before they had a football team. Let's just put it that way.
There you go. So you definitely ride or die for the team.
Yes.
And then, like, pro speaking, I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan. I know growing up in South Carolina, people are like, why? Well, when I was a kid, there was no Carolina Panthers yet. So I watched,
Joe
Montana, Jerry Rice, Steve Young. And so, again, once I'm with you, I'm with you for life. So,
yeah.
Niners
okay.
fan, and hoping for a better year and less injuries this year on the team.
Yeah, let's hope less injuries and also less of that other stuff that's going around. Hopefully everybody's playing it as safe as possible. So anyway, you have a website, you have a Facebook page. Can you tell a little bit about, what is on your page?
Oh, for sure. You can find Tailgating Challenge on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Reddit. We have our own website, too. And so what I aimed to do originally with my thought was to test out fun tailgating products. And so far, I've tested over 700 different tailgating, home gating products over the last 9 years of doing this side hustle with Tailgating Challenge. And so you can find honest reviews, because a lot of people don't know, but some of these air quote reviews that you see out there are paid. And people get paid to be puppets, and I will not do that. So this is where we have a fun way to show off products with our videos and our blogs to determine, like, is it something that you need, that you want, that you should spend your hard-earned money on or not? And then the fun part, too, is that not only do we do that with some videos that I think are kind of fun with showing them off, but then we turn around, and every single week we do weekly giveaways. So we're giving some of this fun stuff away back to our tailgating family, so to speak, with fun prizes and giveaways. Literally every single week, people are winning stuff. We've had well over 1,000 winners, and these are real winners. Again, not fake stuff that you see like, hey, comment on this and we'll send you $25,000. That's probably a fake contest for those that are wondering. But again, fun stuff that we're giving out every single week and showing you some tips and ideas that you're like, huh, this is awesome. And that's my hope and goal, to bring some knowledge of tailgating, bring some smiles with it, and build some camaraderie around the tailgating family.
So what's the thing you've ever discovered so far, and what's the worst thing?
One of my favorite products, year over year, is still this. It's a cruising cooler, motorized cooler. And so it's different from the remote control cooler I talked about earlier, because this is one you actually ride. So you can ride the cooler. It's got wheels on it. You jump on it. It's got a throttle. It can go 13 miles an hour. So you can, like, bounce over to different tailgates and hang out and have your beverages or whatever those may be right there with it. On the flip side, there was another motorized cooler, and I'm not going to say any names because I'm just not a fan of being too defamatory, but
right.
It was terrible. It was terrible to set up. I had to actually hire somebody to set it up because it was such a pain to set up. So I'm like, average people could not set this thing up. And then it started leaking gas, and it would not run. And so it was literally the most frustrating product that I've ever had. And so it's like, that's the difference, right? They could be the same two products. They're the like almost the exact same thing. One could be the best ever, and one could be the worst thing you ever had. And so that's the reason, too, why I like to do some of these reviews, so that people can see some of the stuff before they go in there. And a motorized cooler is going to be, you know, $500, $600, $700. There's some of these that are like $3,500. So that's not chump change for most. And so I want to give some honest thoughts before people get burned or have some of the frustrations that, you know, we've had with certain products, and then other people don't have to.
Yeah, because $3,500 is a lot of money to spend for something that is not going to work.
Right?
That sounds like so much more tailgating money for something else, you know. So if you had one thing that you wanted people to remember when they are trying to plan their tailgating season, let's put it that way, what would it be?
I would say, I mean, again, I feel like I could go off on a tangent on this, but make a list. All right, make a list of the things you want to make sure, like think about the weather, think about, you know, sunscreen protection, if it's cold, if it's rainy. Make a list of the things you need, because if you don't, you will definitely forget something that could improve your level of tailgating when you get to the game.
Okay, sounds cool. Sounds like a plan. And I mean, to be honest, that's actually just pure common sense, I guess, for just about anything, you know, is doing a certain amount, even though, because you want the event to be kind of spontaneous and less stressful. So if you do the planning ahead of time, you know, and if they're stressing, to do that ahead of time, then it makes the event much more enjoyable. And then you talked about the people. About how many people would you say is a good or a bad number? I mean, no less than and no more than.
I mean, again, that really depends on the tailgate. You have a bigger space for it, but I mean, I've tailgated just my wife and I have gone to some tailgates and nobody else wanted to go when it was raining, and we had a blast. Again, get 10 or 15 friends together and go out too. So I feel like a sweet spot is that kind of that 4 to 8 number, because you can get like one or two cars and get everybody in there. But again, that really is subject to your crew, where you're going, what you're doing, the gear you have for it. So. Yeah, I'd say more than one, less than 20. How's that?
Okay. All right. That sounds cool. That sounds like a good number. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out. I know, because, like you said, this is your side hustle. You got to go back to your regular gig. But we appreciate you taking the time out and giving us some tips and helping us, you know, just make the season fun for everybody. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I appreciate the time. You can follow us on all the social media channels. I appreciate every fan, every comment, everything everyone does to help support. It's my passion. I love it. I do it in every waking moment I have outside of my regular work and family. And we have a motto here, so I want to leave everybody with the motto. And our motto is, don't hate, just tailgate. And I feel like the world
don't
can be a better place if we all live by that motto.
Definitely. That works. That works with us. Home gate or tailgate.
Home gating.
Tailgate, don't hate. Yeah, so thank you so much. Thank you. And we have put your information on your website and Facebook page on the G's. We posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. So you have a great day and enjoy the football season.
Yeah, let's have some fun tailgating. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Have a great day. And we are going to take a break. When we come back, we have back with us sports economist Victor Matheson to talk about. We're going to talk about the football season, but we're going to talk a little bit about something else, too, when we come back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event.
need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Yeah, you know, I'm a happy girl. I'm celebrating football season. And I actually was just glancing at my email for a moment, and I got an email from one of my favorite places, Fanatics, where I get some of my football stuff. And anyway, we want to thank Luke Lorick again with Tailgating Challenge to talk about, you know, how to get our tailgate on for this NFL and college football season. And now we want to talk a little bit about the economics of it all. We have back with us Professor Victor Matheson of the College of the Holy Cross. Good afternoon. How are you? Oh, he's dead. Okay. He'll be on soon. In the meantime, one of the things that I did want to talk to Victor Matheson about was we want to recognize the reasons that some of our athletes pull out of certain sports, we want to talk a little bit about what the economic impact is of that. So we're going to talk to Victor Matheson about that soon. Also, just FYI, tomorrow, I need to let you know, tomorrow we are having an early show starting at 11 versus 11:30. We're starting at 11 because we are going to have Kevin Anderson on with us. And Kevin and I have a lot to talk about. There have been some recent developments with the Ahmaud Arbery case in Georgia. Also, there was something that I saw today about a woman walking her dog while black. So we're going to talk a little bit probably about that, too, amid some other things. So just please make sure you are able, hopefully, to join us at 11 tomorrow. We're going to do an hour and a half versus an hour, and hope you have some time to share with us. So in the meantime, Victor, are you there? Oh, no. Got to find him. Got to see what's going on. So let me take another quick break and see where Victor is. So anyway, if you want to join the conversation, let us know, for example, who your favorite team is, never mind, don't worry about that, because I just realized you won't be able to do that today because we are pre-recording today. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have Victor Matheson, College of the Holy Cross. This is G's Power Hour of Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chillin'?
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are trying to check in with Victor Matheson, the professor of the College of the Holy Cross. Professor Matheson, are you with us? So in the meantime, I'm going to take a look at the LinkedIn daily rundown. There's a question that I saw in there that I thought was kind of interesting. Is Thursday the new black? They were talking about
people maybe trying to figure out the best day to come into the office on a hybrid schedule. They said Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday seem to be most popular days to come in for FaceTime with your boss, but Thursdays might be the answer in terms of the day to do the, I guess you can say, if you want to do the hybrid office, the virtual office. So give us some thought. Let us know what you think. Anyway, are you there, Victor?
I am. Good morning,
Jean. Okay, there you go. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. I do want to get to the beginning of the NFL season, but before we do that, I wanted to touch briefly on, and I know we could probably go into this some more, and I did want to get into this with some other professionals as well, but the pullout of high-profile athletes out of major sporting events, and while we understand and try to understand, we can't say we totally understand, but while we try to understand what they're going through, and we know that, you know, personal health is primary and is the priority, it does have an impact, I would say, on how people, I guess, perceive or follow those particular sports, right? Because a lot of times the sport itself is not the draw. A lot of times it's the athlete that's the draw, correct?
No, that's exactly right. And of course, you see both ways, right? One of the famous things of the last a couple decades in golf, right, was the Tiger effect. And every time Tiger was playing in a big event, we had a huge increase in both the number of in-person people buying tickets as well as ratings on TV. So, again, Tiger being in, adding to the amount of money the sport makes is, of course, exactly, you know, the other side of the coin of, you know, what happens to TV ratings as big athletes like Federer wasn't there at the Olympics, and, of course, Simone Biles dropped out of some of her events in gymnastics. And, of course, you know, these are just opposite sides of the same coin. Yeah, of course we're there to see the big stars, and, of course, if they're not playing, that's a big deal.
Okay, so I guess there's a couple sides to this, because the other thing I'm wondering is, what does this do with regards to the athletes themselves with regards to endorsements? Because are there clauses in those agreements that say you have to perform and you have to perform here, or, you know, we don't endorse you, or we stop endorsing you, or we modify the agreement?
Right. So obviously every agreement is going to be different, and that'll be specific to the individual athlete. But what's very common in these type of endorsement deals is a payment for every time the person's brand or the company's brand is seen at some sort of designated event. So, you know, if you show up for the press conference afterwards and you're wearing your Nike warm-up, then you get an additional payment from Nike as part of your sponsorship saying, oh, you have now shown up in this particular media event where we get some coverage, and every time we see our logo associated with you on some sort of television station, then you get an additional payment as part of your sponsorship. So, you know, just automatically, if you don't show up for particular types of events, then automatically your sponsorship numbers go down. And, of course, the other piece is, you know, how much are advertisers and you know, sponsors willing to pay for the big stars. And, of course, the way you become a big star is performing well in these gigantic events like the Olympics. It's likely, I mean, Simone Biles obviously was a gigantic star already, but it's likely that she, when it comes time to renew any contracts here, that she's not going to get the same amount of money because she's not as big a star anymore because she didn't, you know, perform well on this world's biggest stage. And instead that money will go to someone else.
Mm. Okay. So, and then I guess if in the same vein, if you have, let's say, a player that is wearing a certain logo or whatever and either performs poorly or does something, let's say, unprofessional and is caught in the advertiser's attire, that can be how much of a negative impact can that have?
Right. So most sponsorship deals do have some sort of clause in them for good behavior or whatever would like to be there. So a sponsor can, at their discretion, drop an athlete at any point if that athlete engages in behavior that's detrimental. Obviously, they can't just drop them for poor performance immediately. You know, that's probably that's just part of the regular contract. But they can be dropped again immediately with no future payments for some sort of bad behavior associated with that. You know, think about something like Aaron Hernandez here, right here, the Patriots player, Patriots tight end, 5 years ago, who killed someone, right? As soon as that sort of thing happens, you know, they're immediately dropped by their sponsors. And again, those are all parts of those agreements that do stipulate that we can dissolve this immediately if there's particularly bad behavior on the part of the athlete. If they're just being dropped for no reason, you can go back to court and litigate that. But, most of the time these things would be upheld if you have things, criminal behavior, anything like that.
Okay. So basically when you look at it, if you had to rank it, the entity that suffers the least, apparently, because they seem like they've covered all of their bases, is the advertiser or sponsor. And then it just varies, depending on whether, how much the athlete suffers or what, what they've planned for and what the impact is, and then the sport itself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably right, because it is basically these sponsors, these people who are receiving the sponsorships. They're basically like workers for that firm, right? And if they're not doing the job that the firm wants them to do, the firm can cut ties either immediately for, bad behavior, or, in the longer run, as sponsors are re-up themselves for less and less money if they think that worker is not doing what they want. And, of course, there's a little bit of, again, kind of like getting a commission, right? The harder that worker works for you, in other words, the more that person is showing up in your gear, the more that worker is going to earn. So, this is it's very much like a worker and employer-employee relationship. It doesn't mean that the brand can't get hurt, right? Because the brand has invested a bunch of money being associated with this person, and if that person lets them down, that's a bunch of investment in that employee, kind of employee, right? That's no longer working out. So again, they're trying to find people that they think are going to be good long run investments for them. And of course, for many, many years, Tiger Woods was a great investment for Nike. I don't think I think they would have liked to see him, have another 10 or 15 years, especially another 10 or 15 years unmarred by scandal. But, I think Nike did pretty well over the time period they did. And of course, so did Tiger, so did Simone Biles. And, so do so many of these top athletes earning the big endorsements.
Okay, so now let's go to the NFL. Big game, first game of the NFL season tonight. And so let's talk a little bit about, since we're talking about athletes and whether or not they stay or go, let's talk about the Brady effect a little bit. Let's ask this. How good was Tampa for him, and how good was he for Tampa?
Well, it's obvious he was great for Tampa, right? This is a team that has not had a huge amount of success over the course of this franchise. And Tom Brady comes to town and immediately has taken home a Super Bowl trophy, and the first Super Bowl trophy ever won by a team actually hosting the Super Bowl. So, you know, kind of a nice little coincidence there, at least. So, obviously, great for Tampa. And this has more than just 1 year of effect, right? Ticket sales, you know, other than COVID, you know, interest in Tampa Bay certainly would have increased. They certainly were able to increase their ticket prices this season because of increased fan interest. Because again, with Brady there, the seemingly ageless Brady, right? You know, they're still one of the two top teams expected to compete for the Super Bowl this year. The other, of course, being Kansas City.
Oh, yep, definitely. And then you see also, but there's still always that, is he going to retire? Is he going to stay there? I think some quarterbacks that have just tried to maintain some sort of staying power because of Brady. For example, Drew Brees is one of those that I think maybe is one of those that is been saying, you know, I'm going to try to hang in there one more. I'm going to try to hang in there one more. And then I don't think I'm going to try to hang in there anymore. So, I mean, he has more than just impact on, I guess, the team that he's with. I think he has an impact on some of the other players in the franchise. Right? I mean,
in the whole league, that's exactly right. Because, you know, everyone is chasing him as, I think, at this point, the undisputed greatest of all time. He's been able to win, obviously, in Belichick's system up here in New England, but he's able to win on his own. You know, obviously, he's been in more Super Bowls, won more Super Bowls than any quarterback in history, and pretty much owns all of the records, almost any important record you can think of as a quarterback. And, you know, I think there's going to be quarterbacks chasing him for decades. And it'll be the real question whether anyone catches him, because he's certainly put together a pretty remarkable career. The way he plays has made him, you know, pretty durable as well. That he doesn't take a lot of hard hits that other places that other quarterbacks seem to take. And so, you know, I think he's going to play as long as. He's getting protected, and as long as he's not taking a beating, I think he'll kind of play as long as he wants. That being said, and we've been saying this, of course, about Brady for several years now, what we have seen is, in the past, when older quarterbacks start to go, it goes pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton Manning, for example, maybe, you know, one of the other guys who, you know, for many years was kind of going head to head with Brady as the greatest of all time. And of course, Brady has eclipsed him, but, you know, Peyton Manning went from being, you know, putting together the single greatest season up to that point that a quarterback has ever put together to the next season being hobbled by injuries and not even looking like he deserved to be throwing balls in a high school game to being retired. Right.
Right.
So, you know, things tend to go quick when you're old, and who knows when that moment's going to be for Brady.
But I think one of the things you said earlier was key. Well, there's a couple of things. If you have a great quarterback, an impactful quarterback, you have to design the line that's going to protect that quarterback from getting hit, from getting injured, and allow that quarterback to do his work. And I think when you talk about Peyton, and I was a great admirer of Peyton's because I just really appreciated his work ethic. But I think with Peyton, once he got that major injury when he was, I believe, up in Indianapolis, I think it just kind of was never the same, you know. So
and if funny you talk about protecting the quarterback, you know, one of the highest paid positions in all of football is that outside tackle who very specifically protects the quarterback from those rushers that he can't see from the blind sides, right? So if you remember the great Michael Lewis book, also the Sandra Bullock film, Blind Side, that was all, you know, the kind of the economics and the sports of that was the fact that, you know, with quarterbacks being so valuable, the person who is the number one person protecting that quarterback has also become extraordinarily valuable as well, and one of the highest paid positions in all of football.
Okay, that's interesting to note, and I guess deservedly so. If you're taking that kind of hit, you know, then yeah, definitely, you know, you need to get rewarded for it, because you may not. Yeah, the quarterback will probably get all of the fame and all of the glory. You know, we're calling Brady the greatest of all time, but the thing about it, how great would he be if he did not have those people in those positions keeping him safe, keeping him protected, you know?
Left tackle, right? So it's that left tackle. It's the person who is on the outside where that outside rusher can really get a full head of steam and really slam into a person. Most quarterbacks, of course, are right-handed, so they're not seeing what's coming from behind them on the left side of the line. So, again, that left tackle is, again, one of the very, very highest paid positions. It's a position that toils without fame or glory. That's true, but it is not a position that that toils without rewards anymore, again, because it's one of the highest paid positions in the NFL.
Okay, well, good to know. Now let's talk a little bit about COVID on the NFL season last year and what's anticipated this year. I know I just had a tailgating expert on in the last half hour. I'm sure COVID had an impact on that portion of the game, so to speak, because it's not just the game anymore. It is everything that surrounds the game. And you and I have had that conversation on numerous occasions, you know, bars and restaurants and gear and all types of stuff. So what did you see over the past year?
Well, so what we did end up seeing from last year, of course, lots of places had no crowds at any point during the season. For example, up here in New England, other places had limited crowds. Even by the time we got to the Super Bowl, we were at a fraction of the capacity there. The NFL did, of course. There are all sorts of glitches and teams having to postpone games and reschedule. We had games like the Denver Broncos playing a game without an actual quarterback. But in the end, the NFL actually did get through the entire season, played every single one of its games at some point that was originally scheduled, had a successful playoff game, kept all of their TV revenue intact. And that's the big money that they make, is not selling tickets in the stadium, but instead selling TV rights. Since we were all stuck in our homes anyway, they still had pretty good attendance in terms of people watching from their living rooms. All of the sponsorship money was kept intact, so that was good. They did take a gigantic hit from losing the ticket money that they normally would have sold, and, of course, concessions and all that. But, of course, you also save a little bit in some of your operating expenses as well. By the time everything was said and done, it turns out the NFL had the most successful season of any of the major leagues over the last year. They were able to keep the biggest portion of their revenue intact, and their numbers came in at about 75%. So they were able to make about 75% of what they would have made in a normal season. And because of the way the contracts work with the players, of that 25% loss, that 25% loss was shared evenly between the NFL and its players, again, because any increases or decreases in revenue eventually have to wind up in the players' pockets or out of the players' pockets. So that cushioned some of the blow to the owners, and the pain was shared between the players and the owners. Now, going forward, we'll see what things look like. In terms of just, you know, pure COVID numbers, here in September of 2021 actually looks worse than 2020, especially in places, you know, down by where you are in Florida. looks significantly worse than we saw last year. And the extent to which this ultimately is going to impact the season is a question. But, you know, I suspect most places and most Americans, despite the risks of COVID, don't have much appetite for closing down, you know, football games or restricting attendance at some of these big events. And so I suspect it's going to look pretty good on the revenue side for the NFL. It may not look great from the public health side when it comes to, you know, limiting the spread of COVID.
And so last year, piped in crowd noise and all, they didn't do too badly. But now this is the thing that's interesting, because prior to last year, wasn't there talk about we don't know how the NFL is going to survive, the ratings are going down and attendance is going down or something like that? Wasn't there something like that?
So I think I don't think anyone was worried about at least short-term survival of the league. I think a lot of people are talking about whether the league's kind of boom period is gone. But one of the things that's kind of saving all of sports at this point, and how long it can do this is a question, but what's saving all of sports is with the rise of Netflix and Apple TV and Disney Plus and all these sort of things, right? We're all watching programming that it's hard to put commercials in front of people because we are watching streaming or we're watching on a DVR and we can fast forward through commercials. So advertisers have found it increasingly difficult to be able to put advertisements in front of people. But one of the last things that people still are watching in a regular format and watching live, and because they're live, we have this captive audience, is sports. So even though, you know, the number of viewers is not rising rapidly, the amount that advertisers are willing to pay for those dwindling number of captive viewers is still rising. So we're getting, you know, increasingly, we're still getting, you know, pretty strong growth in those sort of TV deals that leagues are getting, even though the networks are paying more and more money for not big increases in actual number of eyeballs they have. But again, they're a special type of eyeball. They're an eyeball that is actually watching a game live that you can put, again, that you can put advertisements in front of.
Okay, so I this is, I guess, somewhat of a personal question. I've seen where they replay games. You know, game is over, game may play last week or whatever, but they replay games. Is there money in showing a replay an old game? Do people actually watch?
So the answer is yes, but that amount of money is tiny. So compare, I mean, the Super Bowl, for example, draws about 100 million viewers. Far and away the biggest number of viewers of any program in the United States in any given year by a wide margin. But essentially no one ever watches the replays. So, you know, if it's essentially free to broadcast, you're not losing much to put it on again and again. But none of those advertisers are paying much for those commercials because there's not many people tuned into those. And that's, of course, a totally different type of entertainment product than something like, you know, Friends or Avengers Endgame, right? You know, because maybe more people are watching the Super Bowl first, right? But we'll watch Friends again and again. We'll watch reruns of Friends. We'll watch, you know, Captain America and Iron Man again in a way that that the old Super Bowls don't have legs. And, you know, that was one of the things that that all of the leagues were concerned about. And ESPN, for example, you know, when all the sports went away, there wasn't much they could put out there instead. You know, Disney Plus had a whole library of things that they say, hey, we can't make any new stuff, but here's all our old stuff and enjoy it. And everyone said, great, we will. The ESPN couldn't do that, and they had a very hard time finding any programming to fill their time.
Professor Matheson, thank you again for joining us and giving us your perspective. Really appreciate it, you know, the new insight into this whole business. So thank you again. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Always my pleasure. Have a good day.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Talk with you tomorrow at 11.
The highest praise.